So Americans angry about the economy took their anger out on elected officials at the voting booth. What is the point of that? Perhaps they should save their angst for the appointed, not elected officials at the Federal Reserve Bank, headed by Ben Bernanke. And if you would like to criticize them, maybe you could ask them about the policy that began this week to purchase up to $600 billion worth of Treasury bonds in a bit of economic sleight of hand that economists don't even know will actually work, but is a plan to stimulate the economy, likely to have more impact on the economy than anything Congress is likely to do in the next 18 months. So, who are the folks at the Fed? How do they get their jobs? And do they have any accountability at all? It's something we ought to look back to on this week of economic angst, if not economic impact. David Wessel joins us, economics editor at The Wall Street Journal and author of In Fed We Trust. And boy, do we trust the Fed, whether we like it or not. Eh, David?
Right. They seem to be the only operation in Washington that's not paralyzed by gridlock and partisanship. And as you point out, they are actually doing something that, in their opinion, will make the economy better, while Congress and the president are arguing about what we should have done 2 years ago.
Let's talk a little bit about Ben Bernanke and the position that he's in right now. This quantitative program, this QE2 program that they've started, this buying of debt, as I mentioned, it's kind of a bit of economic sleight of hand. It's been tried elsewhere. It doesn't necessarily have a great track record. Does it put Ben Bernanke in a historic position historically in times of economic crisis, say, on line with Paul Volcker, who headed the Fed during the 1970s and 80s, and, say, even Benjamin Strong, who headed the New York Fed and was tremendously influential on the global economy in the time of the 1929 crash?
Yes. We are dealing with something that we haven't seen before, certainly not since the Great Depression. Paul Volcker won his plaudits for a very bold and, at the time, controversial move of moving interest rates to up to 20%, provoking a deep recession in order to bring down the rate of inflation, which a lot of people thought could never happen. Ben Bernanke finds himself in exactly the opposite situation. He's worried about inflation going too low. He's got an economy that just won't get up off the floor, and he's kind of making it up as he goes along. The decision he has to make is really, do I do nothing or do I do something with uncertain effects? He's not a do-nothing kind of guy, it seems. He's opted for the thing with uncertain effects. He's going to print $600 billion worth of money. That's what the Fed does. It prints money. He's going to use that money to buy government bonds. He hopes that will lower long-term interest rates and make it easier for people to borrow and refinance. He hopes it'll increase the value of the stock market so everybody feels and is actually richer and spends a little more. And he knows it will depress the value of the dollar, although he doesn't talk about that, and that it will help make exports more attractive from U.S. producers.
But this is the fascinating key here. His job, in fact, is to, in a sense, make it up as he goes along. And if we look at Benjamin Strong in 1929, what he made up was to return the global markets to the gold standard, which turned out to be a huge mistake. What Volcker decided to do, as you point out, raise interest rates up to 20%, that turned out to be right. In this particular case, are you a betting man? Does Bernanke have it right as he makes it up here?
I don't think we know. I don't think we knew whether Paul Volcker had it right, and I suspect that the people at the Fed is actually the successors to Benjamin Strong, who blew it in the Great Depression. They thought they were doing the right thing. Bernanke thinks in the Depression they were too wedded to the orthodoxy of the day, so he's trying to avoid that trap. It is a gamble. His job, by law, is to try to achieve maximum sustainable employment in price stability.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at an economy which has 9.6% unemployment and is not growing fast enough to bring that down. So he says, on objective one, unemployment is way too high. He looks at his price stability objective. He defines price stability as inflation of about 2%. He sees inflation below that level and coming down and decides, I'm not making it on that objective either, so it's time to do something, even if I can't be certain what the effects are. He believes it will have a big effect.
Sure.
He doesn't believe it'll cure our economy. He's not doing something that he thinks won't work. He believes it'll work. A lot of people disagree with him.
But there's this gamble issue here. It must mean that whether you're a Volcker or a Benjamin Strong or his successor or a Ben Bernanke, you got to be a special kind of person to operate in this environment. What do you make of the character of Ben Bernanke and the folks at the Fed banks who have voted with him 11-1 to go down this road?
10-1.
10-1. Okay.
Well, look, one way to think about this is it's like being a general in a war. And there must have been generals in World War II who made horrific mistakes that we never talk about. And then there's the ones that made the great calls, like the invasion of France that Eisenhower led, that look great in retrospect. And we don't really know very much about how these individuals go about making their decisions. We write books, we read their diaries, we examine what they did. But somewhere in these leaders, it comes down to a judgment call, and we rely on them. One of the things that's most remarkable about the whole financial crisis over the last couple of years, to me, is really how few people have made such major decisions. Hank Paulson at the Treasury, Tim Geithner at the New York Fed, and now at the Treasury, Ben Bernanke, and so forth. Bernanke is a scholar. He's not a charismatic guy. He's not a wild and crazy guy. He spent his previous life thinking about how the Fed blew it during the Depression. He's a consensus builder, which is why there are 10 votes on the Federal Open Market Committee and only one dissent for something that a lot of them have some unease about. And he seems to be willing to do things that he thinks are in the interest of the economy, even if he knows he's going to get beaten up
right.
by some of his academic friends and by some of the pundits on Wall Street.
Well, give us a sense of the dissent, the lone dissenter. How tough does that banker have to be in this environment, 10-1 against? What's his argument in the last minute before we go?
Tom Honig of the Kansas City Fed thinks that this will lead to too much inflation down the road, and he thinks it's a mistake. He's not willing to take the risk that Ben Bernanke's taking.
And down the road, is that a year down the road, 5 years down the road, 2 months down the road?
3 to 5 years down the road.
3 to 5 years down the road. Is there economic consensus that somewhere there will be inflationary hell to pay here?
No. If the Fed continues to print money with abandon, we'll get inflation. Bernanke says, I'm not going to do that. I can turn off the spigot. I can take money out of the system when the time comes. His critics say, we don't believe you're going to have either the capacity or the political will to do that.
Some casino, the entire global economy is at stake with these kinds of bets. Ben Bernanke is making them to the tune of $600 billion. David Wessel, economics editor at The Wall Street Journal and author of In Fed, We Trust. Do we ever?